news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Over the weekend, we got two more stories about the lengths Donald Trump was willing to go to stay in office. The Wall Street Journal reported that the former president, still citing unfounded claims of widespread voter fraud, pushed the Justice Department to ask the Supreme Court to invalidate President Biden's victory. Thankfully, former Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen and former Attorney General William Barr both reportedly refused to file a case with the court because there was no legal basis to challenge the election outcome, and the federal government had, quote, no legal interest in whether Trump or Biden won the presidency. White House counsel Pat Cipollini also reportedly opposed the idea. So that led to what the New York Times reported, that after Rosen refused to use the power of the Department of Justice to overturn Georgia's election results, Trump met a Department of Justice Civil Division lawyer named Jeffrey Clark, who was willing to do his bidding. Trump then reportedly held a meeting that two officials compared to an episode of The Apprentice because he had Jeffrey Rosen and Jeffrey Clark each plead their cases to him. Rosen eventually won out, the Times reported, but largely because the other Justice Department officials unanimously said they'd resign if Rosen were fired. Clark now denies devising any plan to get rid of Rosen. I can't believe I just read that story. Moving right along, President Biden is gearing up for a week of executive actions addressing commerce, climate concerns, healthcare, immigration, and other top-line issues. Among them, Biden is expected to repeal Trump's ban on transgender people serving in the military as early as Monday, when he's also due to reinstate COVID-19 travel restrictions on non-U.S. citizens who've been in Brazil, Ireland, the U.K., and much of Europe. Transportation officials are already considering ways to enforce Biden's recent mask mandate for interstate travel. Elsewhere in the new administration, the newly confirmed Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is ordering a review of the Pentagon's sexual assault and harassment prevention programs. Biden's administration is also facing pressure to investigate more into the recent SolarWinds hack allegedly perpetrated by Russian entities. So since his inauguration, President Biden has already signed somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 executive orders. On Friday, he signed two more geared toward bolstering economic relief for Americans suffering during the COVID-19 pandemic. The orders include expanding and extending federal nutrition assistance programs, ensuring employees who refuse to work in unsafe conditions during the pandemic still receive unemployment insurance, and putting a moratorium on federal collections on overpayments and debts for around 2 million veterans. That plan also calls for rental assistance both for vulnerable tenants and mom-and-pop landlords who need to make their mortgage payments on the rental properties. Before signing the orders, Biden said, "We're in a national emergency. We need to act like we're in a national emergency." So for some reason, the House is out this week. Huh? At least the Senate will be busy confirming Biden nominees. Anthony Blinken, the nominee for Secretary of State, could get a vote as early as Tuesday. And Democrats are hoping a few others will get approved this week as well, including Alejandro Mayorkas as Homeland Security Secretary, Pete Buttigieg at Transportation, Merrick Garland at Justice, and Javier Becerra at Health and Human Services. To kick it all off on Monday, senators will vote on Janet Yellen's nomination to become Treasury Secretary. That'll happen late in the afternoon at around 5:30 Eastern. Then at about 7, the House impeachment managers will make the ceremonial walk to the other side of the chamber to deliver that one article of impeachment. On Friday, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer agreed to a two-week delay to give both sides time to prepare. So the second impeachment trial of Donald Trump will begin on February 8th. A spokesman for Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who seems open to convicting Trump, called it a win for due process, especially given the fast and minimal process in the House. Alrighty then. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki announced on Friday that in the wake of the January 6th attack on the Capitol, President Biden is requesting a, quote, comprehensive threat assessment from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence focused on domestic violent extremism. That'll be conducted in coordination with the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security. In addition, Psaki said that the National Security Council will launch a policy review to, quote, support efforts to prevent radicalization, disrupt violent extremist networks, and more. Former White House Coronavirus Task Force official Dr. Deborah Birx is now speaking out. And on Sunday, she revealed that they provided selective misleading data.
To this day, I mean, till the day I left, I'm convinced there were parallel data streams because I...
Disinformation.
I saw the president presenting graphs that I never made. So I know that someone or someone out there or someone inside was creating a parallel set of data and graphics that were shown to the president.
Lovely. Why didn't she say anything sooner? And then there's Dr. Anthony Fauci, who let us know in more subtle ways that things were off while Trump was in office. But he said he never considered resigning because he thought it very important that someone still continue to attempt to provide the truth.
I've served now, this is my seventh administration, and I've been advising administrations and presidents on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, people with different ideologies, and even with differences in ideology, there never was this real affront on science. So it really was an aberrancy that I haven't seen in the almost 40 years that I've been doing this. So it's just one of those things that is chilling when you see it happen.
And finally, police in Russia detained more than 3,000 protesters demanding the release of opposition leader Alexei Navalny on Saturday as rallies took place across Russia. Navalny, a fierce Kremlin critic and major rival of Russian President Vladimir Putin, was given a 30-day jail sentence after returning to Moscow from Berlin, where he had spent months recovering from a poisoning allegedly carried out by Russia's FSB spy agency. Demonstrators reportedly remained in the streets well into the evening despite the arrests and violent clashes with police. Meanwhile, the Biden administration came out in support of the protesters. A statement from the State Department reads, "The U.S. strongly condemns the use of harsh tactics against protesters and journalists this weekend in cities throughout Russia. We call on Russian authorities to release all those detained for exercising their universal rights and for the immediate and unconditional release of Navalny." Welcome back, United States of America. Welcome back. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.